Good morning. Thanks again for coming. The second part of the presentation will go on into some of the details of the RFP process. Gene provided you an overview of the two parts of the proposal that must be submitted, and I'll go into a little more detail on each part and on the bid submission procedures. So at a general level, the proposals are submitted really in three pieces. One is a part one proposal, and the window to submit those proposals opens on May 19th. So that's the first day in which, if we receive a proposal, we would be processing the proposal. And the due date for the part one proposal is on the 27th of May. And I'll go into more detail, but generally speaking, the part one proposal is the basic information, such as contact information and the documents that you need to submit for the creditworthiness evaluation, as well as your opportunity to request any modification to either the pre-bid letter of credit, which would be submitted with the part two proposal, or the post-bid or performance assurance letter of credit that is that would be submitted with the master agreement if needed. The part two date then for bidders that have qualified pursuant to a successful part one proposal, there's a second part to the proposal which is then must be submitted by June 9th, and that second part of the proposal would include the signed documents, so the signed master agreement. If an RFP bidder is relying on a guarantor, it would also include the signed guarantee, as well as a pre-bid letter of credit, so financial guarantees that are sufficient to support the bids. And that's really the third part of the proposal, the final part, and the bids are due on June 15th. Following the submission of bids, the independent evaluator submits a report to the commission, and the commission then makes a decision on the results of the RFP within one day. In between these events, there's two events on the calendar that you see on this slide that are in blue. One is today's information session. The second one is a bidder training session. So as I'll go into a little bit more detail, the bid submission is through the transfer of a bid sheet through an electronic transfer system, and there will be an opportunity for you to try out that system and to make sure that the instructions that will be provided to you by the independent evaluator are clear, and your opportunity also to ask any questions. So I'll go into a little bit more detail in a minute on exactly what the requirements are, but before I go there, just wanted to point out that, as Brian said, the documents have been on the website since March 10th, and those are the documents that were filed in settlement. Since then, there have been some details that are now available, such as the address for the independent evaluator, such as the final schedule. So we have reissued the documents, so they're now ready for download for you on the website. All these final documents will have a date of May 4th. Included in those documents are the RFP rules. As Gene mentioned, there are distinct documents for the full requirements procurement on the one hand and for the block energy procurement on the other hand, and that includes two sets of RFP rules. The processes are the same, but just to have the details precise for each type of product, there are two sets of rules. Similarly, there are two part one forms. So if you submit a proposal for requirements to bid on full requirements tranches, there will be a part one form for that. There is also a part one form if you're also submitting bids for the block energy portion of this solicitation. So there's a part one form that's ready for download, part two form, guarantee process that I'll talk about in a little bit that really precedes the submission of the part one proposal. So all those documents are now available for you. They include the final schedule for this procurement. They also include the final contact information for independent evaluators. So both the address for the submission of documents and also an email address for submissions of documents like modifications to the pre-bid or post-bid letter of credit. So I mentioned that there's really three bits to the proposal, part one, part two, and then the submission of the bids themselves. Preceding all of that, so before all of that, there is also a guarantee process. In that guarantee process, there's really two tracks here. One track is really for bidders that have corporate policies that preclude them from using the standard form of guarantee that is appended to the supplier master agreement. For those bidders, they have the ability to submit an alternate form of guarantee for consideration by PICO. That alternate form of guarantee must have been in regular use by the RFP bidder and its guarantor, and it must be for an unlimited amount. PICO will review that form of guarantee. There are certain criteria for this evaluation that are included in a document that's part of the RFP rules. So if you're interested in this particular track of the process, Appendix 3 of the RFP rules describes in detail the criteria and the method of evaluation. The deadline for submission of these alternate forms is actually very, very soon. It's Friday this week, and following submission of this material, PICO and the independent evaluator will review the forms and additional documents that are required with the form, and will then inform the submitter of any required changes to these documents. Following the independent evaluator informing the RFP bidder that there are required changes, the RFP bidder that is submitting the document has then an opportunity to submit these required modifications. A final decision is expected by May 22nd, so in advance of the Part 1 date. So I mentioned there were two tracks to this guarantee process. The second track is an opportunity to submit modification to the standard form of guarantee that is appended to the master agreement. Again, the deadline for that is the same. So the deadline is, again, this Friday at noon. And the modifications that must be submitted, that could be submitted, must be non-material or mutually beneficial to both the RFP bidder and PICO. The independent evaluator will inform any party that's proposing modification of whether that modification is acceptable. Now, all the modifications that will be judged acceptable will be also posted to the RFP website. A modification that's accepted for the benefit of one bidder is really accepted for the benefit of all bidders. So all bidders will have the opportunity to use any of the acceptable modifications in their guarantee. When that list of modification becomes available, the independent evaluator will also issue a supplement to the Part 1 form. And what that supplement will be the opportunity for RFP bidders that are relying on the financial standing of a guarantor to notify the independent evaluator of any of the acceptable modification that they wish to incorporate into their guarantee. So that's kind of the pre-process that is before the Part 1. Sorry, there's actually no table to set this anywhere, so I'll be walking around a little bit. Now to talk a little bit about the requirements for the Part 1 and Part 2 proposal and then the submission of bids. As I mentioned, the Part 1 proposal really is basic information, so we'll ask the RFP bidder to provide contact information for a representative that will really be our point of contact with the RFP bidder, as well as contact information for an officer of the RFP bidder that will be, for example, executing the master agreement in the Part 2 proposal. The RFP bidder is also required to provide information for a creditworthiness assessment either for themselves or for a guarantor if the RFP bidder is relying on the financial standing of a guarantor. And as I mentioned, it's also your opportunity to submit modification to the letters of credit. Again, there are two letters of credit in this process. One is a pre-bid letter of credit that would be submitted with the Part 2 proposal and would be the financial guarantee that should be sufficient to support the bids that are submitted. The second letter of credit is the post-bid or performance assurance letter of credit that is the standard form that's attached to the master agreement. Bidders may submit these modifications to letter of credit and will be informed then of the decision as to whether they are acceptable to PICO by the independent evaluator. There is a window during which those Part 1 proposals are processed, and the final date for processing and for submitting the Part 1 proposal is the 27th. The window during which the Part 1 proposal will be processed will be between May 19th and May 27th, the Part 1 date. After processing and assessing the materials that will be submitted as part of the Part 1 proposal, bidders will be notified promptly, basically within 3 days of the Part 1 date on June 1st, of whether they are qualified. And what that means, if they're qualified, is that they can then proceed to submit the Part 2 proposal, the next part of the proposal. So the RFP bidder submits various financial documents, financial statements, and credit rating so that the independent evaluator and PICO can determine the unsecured credit that the supplier or its guarantor would have under the terms of the supplier master agreement. That assessment will be communicated back to the RFP bidder with their Part 1 notification, that is, with their notification of qualification following processing of the Part 1 proposal. The RFP bidder may submit for consideration modifications to the letters of credit. PICO and the independent evaluator will meet basically daily during the Part 1 window to be able to review as they come in any requested modification to the letter of credit. Again, both the pre-bid and the post-bid letter of credit. The process here is very similar to what I described in terms of requesting modification to the guarantee, to the standard form of guarantee, in the sense that all modifications that will have been accepted for the benefit of one bidder are really accepted for the benefit of all bidders. So the independent evaluator will make available on the PICO procurement website a list of all approved modifications. The Part 2 proposal is the next step. Any RFP bidder that has submitted the Part 1 proposal and that is successful with its submission of those qualification materials will be notified that they are able to submit the Part 2 proposal. Again, there's a window during which those Part 2 proposals are being processed that starts right after bidders are qualified on June 1st, or starts on June 2nd, and it goes up to the deadline for the submission of Part 2 proposal, namely the Part 2 date of June 9, 2009. In the Part 2 proposal, RFP bidders basically submit executed documents, the supplier master agreement, and if an RFP bidder is relying on the financial standing of a guarantor, also the signed guarantee. As well, the RFP bidder submits an executed pre-bid letter of credit that's sufficient to support its bids. The pre-bid letter of credit that's submitted at this point should either be the standard form as provided previously or only incorporate those modifications that have been approved in Part 1. So Part 1 is really your opportunity to work with your financial institution and submit any, for example, changes in language that would be equivalent to the provision of the letter of credit for the pre-bid letter of credit, but that would be preferred by your financial institution for approval by PICO, so that you may then incorporate that in your executed pre-bid letter of credit in Part 2. So at the Part 2 stage, when the letter is executed, what we're expecting is that It's either the standard format or it's those modifications that you will have submitted in Part 1 and that will have been approved by PICO. I'm emphasizing this because there's really a limited amount of time to cure deficiencies, so if the letter of credit is not in that standard format and you must make a modification to letter of credit and go back to your institution, there's really a limited amount of time during which you can do that. The last part of the proposal is the submission of bids. So a bidder can submit bid if it has been qualified pursuant to a complete and successful Part 1 proposal, and also if it has submitted a successful and complete Part 2 proposal. Each RFP bidder will be notified that is the case, that they have to go ahead to submit bids at the latest on Friday, June 12th, so after the processing of the Part 2 proposal is complete. A bid is really one number in dollars per megawatt hour, either for a tranche in the full requirement context or for a block in the block energy context. A bid is rounded to the nearest cent, is binding for 6 business days. That's a bit misleading, really up to 6 business days following the bid date, and it has to be supported by sufficient amount of security. So there's an amount of security, again, separate for the full requirement tranches and for the blocks of block energy. So it's $250,000 per tranche for the full requirement procurement and $20,000 per 10 megawatt block for the block energy. I mentioned that the bid submission process is electronic, so it's through a secure file transfer system. And what that means is that with the Part 1, or the process here is that with the Part 1 notification, you'll be given a CD. On that CD, there will be a bid form that you can use for submitting your bids. And that bid form will be customized to you and will have with it instructions for those bid submission. You will enter your bid in this spreadsheet, which will be the bid form. You will then basically log in a secure fashion to a website and be able to upload that file to that website. The independent evaluator on its side then, once your submission is complete, we'll be able to download that file and we'll be able to use that bid form to evaluate the bids from all the bidders. There will be a training session to make sure that you can access from your corporate site that website to effect the secure file transfer system, to make sure that you understand the instructions and to answer any questions that you may have on the bid submission process. That training session will be on June 5th and will be for bidders which at that point will have completed successfully the Part 1 process, the Part 1 proposal process. The bids are due at noon, by noon, on June 15th. After the bids are received, the independent evaluator will call the RFP bidder to confirm the submission of the bid. If there are any issues of consistency, of completeness with the bid form, the independent evaluator would tell the bidder at that point. The bidder could resubmit, but of course only if the bid form can be received by the noon deadline. All bidders are encouraged to submit their bids with sufficient amount of time to confirm, to get that confirmation from the independent evaluator, and to leave themselves the ability to resubmit if needed. By 6 p.m. on the bid date, the independent evaluator would inform the RFP bidders if they're part of the bids that will be recommended as winning bids to the commission on the next day. Just a couple of things to kind of go back on a couple of the points that are on this slide. One is we're mentioning on this slide that there's a CD that's going to come to you with the Part 1 notification. So after the Part 1 proposal is done, if you're notified that you're qualified, you're going to receive a CD. We're mentioning here that it will have the bid form. It will also have the instructions for the completion of the bid form. It will also have the documents that you will then execute and submit with your Part 2. So, for example, if you're an RFP bidder, that relies on the financial strength of a guarantor. The guarantee will be prepared for you with any acceptable modification that you've chosen. That document will be included on the CD so that all you would have to do is print that document, have it executed for submission with a Part 2. The same thing is going to be true for the master agreement. So that also will be prepared on your behalf, will be on the CD so that it can then be printed and signed by the officer of the RFP bidder. What we're expecting is that the officer of the RFP bidder that signs the master agreement will be the officer that you will have designated in the Part 1 proposal. The second thing that I want to point out that is touched upon on this slide is that the bid submission is electronic. It's always good to have a backup whenever you're thinking about an electronic bid submission, and there is a backup, which is fax. So if on that day there is a problem in terms of being able to use this secure file transfer system for the submission of bids, you have the option to submit the bid by fax. So the bid evaluation is easy. It's really on a price-only basis once the Part 1 and Part 2 proposal have been completed. And the bids for each product is ranked from basically lowest to highest, and that's how bids get recommended to the commission. Some brief points on what happens after the bid. So assuming that we have had the bid date, the report has been submitted to the commission on the next day. The commission has made its decision on the results of the solicitation the day after, and assuming that that decision is a positive one. So working with the schedule for this particular solicitation, where June 15th is the bid day, then the commission decision would be expected by June 17th. Once the commission decision has been entered and that the results of the solicitation are accepted, then the independent evaluator provides to PICO the information on the winning bidders so that PICO may then prepare the transaction confirmation under the supplier master agreement. On the next day, the independent evaluator releases the pre-bid letter of credit for the losing RFP bidders that have no ongoing obligations to sign the confirmations under the contract. For the other bidders, PICO signs the supplier master agreement, acknowledges the guarantee, has that day to prepare the transaction confirmation, which it would then sign on the next business day and fax to the winning supplier. There's a parallel process to the fax process, which is that PICO overnights the transaction confirmation and the SMA. These are received by the supplier, and the supplier has until 2 p.m. under this timeline on Monday, June 22nd, so 1 week after the bid date and 3 days after the commission decision, to fax back the transaction confirmation and then overnights those confirmations to PICO. Finally, once the process is finished in terms of complete and full execution of the master agreements and transaction confirmation, then the independent evaluator releases the pre-bid letter of credit for those RFP bidders that had winning bids. There's also going to be information that will be released to the public about the solicitation. That information is released with some delay, so 30 days after the solicitation. And for full requirements includes the average winning bid by class. That will be a calculation of the rate impact for the class, as well as the number of bidders that have qualified to submit bids and also that have won tranches under the solicitation. There's also a release of information concerning the number of tranches of each product that were filled. That's for the full requirements side. Something similar for the block procurement side, namely the average winning bid price again, separated by base load and peak blocks, and the number of RFP bidders that submitted that were qualified to submit bids, and the number of blocks that were filled. You can get more information on all the topics that we've covered today through the RFP website, which, as Brian emphasized, is www.picoprocurement.com. That's going to include all the documents that you will need to submit your proposal. Also include regulatory documents from the commission dockets. It also has a data room with historic data from 2006 to now. It also has a section with answers to your question. So there is an ability through the website for you to submit questions that you may have on any aspect of the presentation today or any of the documents that are on the website. And when you submit that question, it comes to the independent evaluator. We return a response to you through email. And once you receive the response, it will also be posted to the RFP website. So both the question and the answer then get posted to the FAQ section of the website. We also put on the website any announcement as to deadlines or any events that are relevant to this solicitation. And there are forms, as I said, for submitting questions as well as to register to get updates from us regarding any aspect of this procurement or to respond to an invitation for a bidder session. We've talked very precisely about the schedule for this particular solicitation today, but there is also a schedule for future solicitations on the website. So when exactly are the next solicitation going to take place? Those dates are there, including the dates for Part 1 and Part 2 proposal and bid date. So the complete schedule for all future procurements is, well, not all future procurements, but within this program are on the website. So in terms of general postings on the website, any announcement that we send to the registrants of our website through email, we also post to the website. And the most recent announcements are on the homepage. So as you see on the right-hand column are the most recent announcements. And if you want to see past announcements, we also have an archive that includes those. In the data room, as I mentioned, there is historical data that's available from as far back as 2006. We do an update to the data room monthly. That update occurs on the 13th of each month, and it includes update to most of the data series that you will see there, including hourly load for all classes, all procurement classes. There's additional data as well that's updated a little more occasionally, and that is included in the data room as well. There will be a data room comment process, so we will be soliciting comments from suppliers on the data that has been made available to you, seeking from you suggestions for additional data series or time periods or even alternative formats that may be more useful to you in analyzing the data in preparation for submitting your bids. Once we get those submissions from you, we'll coordinate with PICO to determine which of the requests that you've made can be accommodated, and we will then update the data room in time for the next solicitation. So we will issue the invitation to comments very shortly, within the next 10 days, but we will give you sufficient time to analyze what's available right now in the data room and for you to think about any suggestions or any requests that you would have. And those comments then will be due after the bid date for this solicitation, sometime in July, hoping to integrate your comments for the upcoming solicitation, so in time for the August or September update. There is a registration link on our website, so you can use that to receive emails and updates from us. So all the announcements that are posted on the website, you can receive by email from us so that you are always kept alerted of upcoming deadlines. As I mentioned, there's an ask a question form, and when we are trying to process the question and send the response back to you, our general turnaround is 2 business days from the acknowledgments of receipt. We'll let you know if a question requires a little more research and will need a little more time to give you an answer. New FAQs, so that is the questions and answers are then posted to the website. So that FAQ process, typically we will be posting that weekly on Wednesday. And I say typically because if there is a high volume of questions, so for example, surrounding the Part 1 proposal, if there are a lot of questions asked that are really procedural about how to submit the Part 1 proposal, we may post to the website more often, and we would then send an announcement to you to let you know that for that period of time, we may be posting FAQs on a daily basis. When we post an FAQ, we always try, to the extent possible, to take out any identifying information and to make the question as general and as useful to everybody as we can. The address for submission of the materials is the one that you see on this slide and has now been incorporated to the documents that are on the website. So for each of the submissions, a Part 1 proposal, for example, we ask that you submit 3 originals of the Part 1 form, and those Part 1 form would be mailed to us at this address.